And good morning. You're tuned to KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Friday, November 20th. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. I'm Roz Brown. Coming up today, if you're planning Thanksgiving at home this coming week, an epidemiologist shares some ideas for a safe celebration. Then, as we all know, the important year-end holidays won't be quite the same for most of us this year. But children are still counting on the generosity of Coloradans to make a one-day toy event feel more normal. Then an update from Restore Colorado, a grant-making program designed to incentivize local agricultural practices that increase soil carbon sequestration. At the bottom of the hour, two regular features, a timely food waste tip from John Lendorf, followed by Trends Diary, where we'll learn how playing the piano is bringing joy to young people during the health crisis. Then it's Connections at 8:30 with Duncan Campbell. Duncan and his guest will discuss the wise, good fight for democracy. And as always, at 9:30, another morning of eclectic music until noon here at KGNU. But first, we'll start with headlines. A lot of COVID-19 news today. Due to a continued rise in cases in Colorado, Department of Public Health and Environment has announced that Boulder County will move to a more restrictive level of recovery called Level Red Severe Risk, effective today at 5 p.m. This is a transition from the county's current status of Level Orange High Risk. It will result in a new capacity restrictions in Boulder County for some businesses. Under Level Red, community members should stay home as much as possible, and public or private gatherings are limited to one household. There will be greater restrictions at the public library, recreation centers, and the police station lobby. It will remain open for appointments only. And, of course, restaurants will be the most severely impacted. Under the order, restaurants may offer curbside and takeout until 10 p.m. Delivery services and other in-person outdoor dining tables with a single household. The last service of food, drink, and alcohol will be at 8 p.m. in restaurants going forward, again, starting at 5 o'clock today. The order also reduces or eliminates indoor capacity for most business sectors and strongly recommends remote work for all workers when possible. Here's some additional bullet points on COVID today. Mesa County has run out of hospital intensive care units. Private gyms will be restricted to 10% capacity occupancy starting today. After meeting with officials of the governor's office this week, representatives of Colorado's gym and fitness industry warned the new restrictions are unsustainable for their businesses long term. Ski areas, however, in counties listed at level red or severe risk on the state's COVID-19 dial will be allowed to remain open under the new restrictions. Meanwhile, Colorado State University researchers hope to have a self-administered rapid antigen test they've developed for COVID-19 on the market by late winter or early spring. According to the Fort Collins Coloradan, the test kit is about the size of a deck of playing cards and includes everything a consumer would need to test themselves for the virus that causes COVID-19. In the midst of all this, the Boulder County Sheriff's Office has begun a new online reporting system that allows people to report non-emergencies and non-violent crimes without suspect information. Crimes occurring in unincorporated Boulder County or in Superior or Lyons can be filed through the system. The Boulder County Sheriff's Office is the latest agency in the county to adopt an online reporting system. Again, non-emergencies can be reported at 303-441-4444. Despite COVID chaos, you may have plans to travel out of Denver International Airport during the week of Thanksgiving. KGNU's Steve Miller tells us what to expect.
During the pandemic, air travel has declined significantly, but Thanksgiving travel is still expected to make DIA a busy place. Even though airport officials are expecting a 36% decline in the number of passengers compared to last year, the busiest days for travel should be the Sunday before Thanksgiving and the Sunday after Thanksgiving. 50,000 people are expected to go through airport checkpoints. Masks are required for all travelers 11 years old and older. Masks are needed within any public indoor space and using or waiting to use public or other transportation services. And, just in case, masks are available to purchase at concessions or from a vending machine. You will have to remove your mask briefly at security to show your face to a TSA agent. Security lines have been reconfigured for more social distancing. Airport officials say if you see a crowded train, wait for the next one. They come every 2 to 3 minutes. You can easily avoid a crowded train with DIA's Verifly service. Verifly, available in an app, allows TSA screening reservations and provides a limited capacity train car to the gate. DIA says more than 100 hand sanitizer dispensers are located throughout the airport and disinfecting wipe dispensers are in each gate area. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
In other news this morning, a Western group working to restore wildlife and their habitat says if President-elect Joe Biden halts construction of President Donald Trump's signature border wall, it will benefit the animal migration there. Biden has said there will be not another foot of wall constructed along the border between the U.S. and Mexico when he takes office in January. Brian Bird with Defenders of Wildlife says the Trump administration hasn't built a lot of new border wall, but instead replaced previous vehicle barriers.
They were able to replace a lot of vehicle barriers with impenetrable pedestrian barriers, which are terrible for wildlife. So there has been enormous damage done to the border, especially in Arizona and New Mexico.
Bird says previous vehicle barriers were only about 4 feet high, and animals could pass under or over them. Bird is concerned much more of the wall could be built before next year's presidential inauguration on January 20th.
Customs and Border Protection is furiously working to complete the impenetrable wall across our southern border. They're working day and night, regardless of the coronavirus, to finish it.
Bird believes activists who worked hard to prevent construction of the wall will now begin a tear down the wall campaign. The weather forecast for today along the Front Range, sunny skies with a high of 47, low tonight 30, back to 50 degrees on Saturday, but dropping down to 26 degrees overnight, then 48 degrees on Sunday. Look for a Turkey Day temperature of 45 degrees. Right now it is 40 degrees outside our Boulder studios at 8:12 this Friday morning. The ending of 2020 deserves to be celebrated, given this difficult year, and who better to ask how to plan a safe holiday than an epidemiologist? Given the nationwide resurgence of COVID-19 infections, gatherings of family and friends over the upcoming holidays have the potential to amplify the spread of COVID-19. One epidemiologist shares advice on how she's planning to spend Thanksgiving. Public health professor at American University, Melissa Hawkins, says this year she's skipping her annual out-of-town trip and notes Thanksgiving will be smaller, largely outdoors and flexible, but not without its own tradition.
Everyone gets their own little care package. And so that I've ordered turkey masks. So everyone gets their own turkey mask. We're planning to be outside if the weather cooperates. So we're going to have your own blanket. So it'll be like your station. So I'm hoping that'll make it a little bit more special for everybody too.
Hawkins adds that it's important that everyone who will be attending any holiday celebration is on the same page about how to take precautions before getting together. The idea is to lower infection risk in the weeks leading up to the holidays and then test to confirm. Several recent studies have further confirmed that indoor socializing at home carries a significantly higher risk of viral transmission than outdoor activities.
It's all about communication. So we're learning as we go, all of us. For us, what's really worked well is frequent communication, bouncing ideas off of our quarantine members, and just getting on the same page about what we're all comfortable doing or not doing.
Hawkins adds that whether outside or inside, everyone will wear masks when they aren't eating, maintain 6 feet of distance, and use the hand sanitizer placed throughout the house.
The risk of getting sick from the flu increases your risk for COVID and vice versa. And we certainly need to think about hospital capacity too. So anything that we can do to keep any virus from spreading is important to do as we head into the winter months.
She points out that if the weather doesn't cooperate, her plan B is to host inside, but with as many windows open as possible and with everyone spaced as far apart as possible. Hawkins notes being outside is safer, but if you must be indoors, improve ventilation by opening doors and windows, and consider turning on exhaust fans and using an air purifier. And again, I was speaking there with Melissa Hawkins with American University. It's 8:15. You're listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Share a Gift is an annual event that last year served 534 families, which equates to 1,330 children, and they were helped by 760 volunteers. This year's event will be different due to the pandemic. KGNU's Rosanna Longo has more.
This year will not be in person, and we're going to be doing more of a drive-through event. So people will come in their cars. There's different slots for each last name. So if you have, you know, letter A comes at a certain time, et cetera. And we will be doing kind of pre-sorted gifts. So we've bought a lot of things in bulk this year. In past years, it's a combination of new toys and used toys. This will be all new toys this year. Parents will come in. They will talk to someone. We have English and Spanish speakers on site. They will talk to someone on their phone with a number to call. That person will actually be outside of their car, but we're trying to keep everything so they don't have to have contact with anybody. So you'll come in with in your car, you'll talk to somebody on the phone, they will find that information about your family, and then you'll kind of keep moving down the line until you get to the end. A shopper will go and get toys for your family, come out with a bag full of new toys, put it in your trunk, and drive away. At least that's the intent. We also will have bikes to give away as well. So if a family is in need of a bike for their children, that can be an option too.
I'm speaking with Stephanie Watson. She's talking to me about the Share a Gift, a program that has been providing toys for kids in need. Who gets these toys?
They are free for anyone who resides in the Boulder Valley School District. If you show up, you have to provide a proof of address. So that could be a utility bill, driver's license that has your current address on it, just to prove that you do, in fact, live in the Boulder Valley School District area or boundaries. And then also proof of each child. That could be a birth certificate, a immunization record, a report card. You know, a lot of report cards this year are specifically online. So if you have anything with your child's name on it that says, you know, they, you know, we live here and they go to this school, it could be their student ID, which can be found in Infinite Campus. For those parents who have kids in school, they should are familiar with that. There are some requirements just to prove that you are in fact living in the area, but beyond that, it's free for everybody. You don't, there's no pre-registration. You just show up the day of.
Why is this service so important, and especially now?
I think this year is especially important because we are anticipating our demand to be a little bit more this year just because of what's happened with the economy and people losing jobs, etc. And we're here to help. I mean, we don't want, you know, the holidays are a special time for kids. I mean, we all remember those times growing up, and we just don't want any child to have to go without being able to experience a little bit of joy, and quite frankly, for the parents to be able to bring that joy to their kids. You know, bring a little bit of joy to the kids' faces, whether that be Christmas morning or whatever holiday you celebrate.
Last year, how many families and how many children benefit from the Share a Gift program?
Last year in 2019, we served 534 families, which equates to about 1,330 children. And we also had 760 volunteers.
Can you please share with me the dates when these will be happening?
If you are a family in need of toys this year and a little help over the holidays, will take place on Saturday, December 19th. And then we also are doing toy drives for the community if people are willing to wanting to donate toys. So we have two drive-through contactless toy drives happening as well.
Especially now that we're going to go into the Thanksgiving time when you are thinking mm-hmm. about giving away things, it will be really good for people to know where they can start donating and thinking about others in a moment of crisis.
Every year we couldn't do this without our community and our volunteers, so we appreciate anything that people are willing to give. We have our first donation drive, if you call it, and this is for new toys for kids ages 0 to 14, and then also used and new, I would say, bicycles. So if you do have an old bicycle, an old kid's bike that your kid has outgrown and you don't know what to do with it, please drop it off. We have local bike mechanics that donate their time and fix up the bikes leading up to the toy shop. So those dates are the Saturday after Thanksgiving, which is Saturday, November 28th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then the following Saturday, December 5th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And those will be a drive-through donation drop-off, and that's also at 5311 Western Avenue in Boulder.
What do you want people to know about the importance of sharing a gift in this season?
I think it's about bringing a little bit of joy. We all need that this year, right? And just Christmas is such a, it's a kid for the, it's a holiday for the kids, right? I feel like, and that's, you know, we don't want kids, children to be lacking of any sort of the festive, you know, joyous feeling that happens during the holiday season. And it, you know, so many things have happened this year, and if families have lost jobs, et cetera, we're here to still provide that smile to your kid's face.
I have been speaking with Stephanie Watson, talking about Share a Gift. For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo.
And again, those toys will be given away Saturday, December 19th. There is also a donation drive-through for new toys and old bicycles the two Saturdays after and before Thanksgiving. For more information, you can go to shareagift.org. Prior to COVID-19, U.S. restaurants were an $860 billion industry, much bigger than farming or retail. And despite the current coronavirus crisis, what it's done to the industry, Restore Colorado is proceeding with a first-of-its-kind program that would allow participating Boulder County restaurateurs to add an optional 1% surcharge to the customer receipt with all revenue used to support carbon farming on regional Boulder County farmland. The group held a webinar about the Restore Colorado Boulder County pilot program yesterday that included Phil Taylor, who is the co-founder of the group Mad Ag.
All of our food comes from land that most of us are unfamiliar with faces, with farmers, with practices that we have no idea what's going on unless it's certified this or that. And this is one way that restaurants can start sort of showcasing and developing relationships back through their supply chains and back through their supply sheds, really creating kind of a table-to-farm movement as much as a farm-to-table movement. And I think creating those kinds of relationships between, you know, the places where people consume food and the places that produce the food is a really exciting way of rehumanizing the food system. Right now, global supply chains often hide so much of the injustice that is either conscious or mostly unconscious. And I think this is one way of really clarifying that relationship between the farmer, the soil, what's being produced, and how it's actually creating healthy people. And, you know, as J.I. Rodale said a long time ago, founder of the Rodale Institute, which coined the word organic, healthy people come from healthy food, which comes from healthy soil. And that's a really simple equation that I think many, many people in society have forgotten about or are maybe not as aware of as they should be. And I think that that's one of the really exciting parts of Restore Colorado.
The United Nations predicts there are only 60 remaining harvests at the current rate of soil depletion. That concerns Tim Scheel, who is a Boulder Subway franchisee and farmer who raises pigs. He feeds them what would be thrown out from his restaurants and would like to see a formal program adopted across the country.
By doing this, I was offsetting all my trash waste that was going to the dumpster, because this was before we actually started composting and recycling in the city of Boulder, and offsetting all of this going home to feed my hogs, which I had 7 of them at the time, and I literally cut my feed in half of what I was feeding my hogs during that time period. So it's a simple reality to the process. And without even thinking about it, it's kind of a no-brainer in this process, collecting the compost, sponsoring farms, granting them the money, and then basically you're collecting pennies on meals within the restaurants. And I think that if we can get, like, Subway, for example, for as natural as we are and as organic as we try to be nationwide, there's no reason why this can't take off.
Again, that was Tim Scheel, a Boulder Subway owner. Restaurants will hope will be moving toward normalcy in 2021, fingers crossed. And Restore Colorado says it will be a chance to create a new normal by building connections between the agricultural and restaurant communities to tackle climate change. And speaking of composting, time now for a tip from KGNU's John Lindorf on how to avoid food waste, especially during these lockdown days.
Hi, it's John Lindorf from KGNU's Radio Nibbles, here with another practical way to cut food waste, save flavor, and save some money. For instance, our landfills are full of an incredible amount of still edible restaurant leftovers, not to mention pasta, sourdough starter, and a lot of other good food that we just toss. Instead of throwing it away or composting it, try this. Beyond freezing your takeout leftovers to eat later, sometimes you have leftover sauces from a curry or something, and you can use that to make another whole dish using another protein. Some leftovers can be tossed in a blender with broth and turned into a quick, tasty soup. Rice can be fried with eggs to make breakfast. Pasta. Leftover pasta can be added to soups or to make mac and cheese. And, you know, my opinion is you can wrap any leftover in pie dough and make dinner hand pies for the next day. Mashers can become gnocchi, and hash browns can become a frittata. When you finish a jar of pickles, use the juice to make a salad dressing or in cocktails. The liquid in canned beans and vegetables can be added to soups. You can pour cold coffee into ice cube trays and freeze that to make blender shakes. Got too much sourdough starter? Add flour, salt, and olive oil and seasonings. Roll it out and bake briefly to make crackers. There's so much that you can do to stop food waste. Thank you. In any case, remember that composting, that's the last resort. And you can find more food waste tips and suggestions at news.kgnu.org.
Now at 8:27 here at KGNU, let's take a listen to this week's Trends Diary.
Time now for Trends Diary, where Boulder County residents of all ages share personal experiences that relate to a pressing community need. The focus for now is on our shared need to connect and solve problems, despite the increased isolation we're all experiencing during the COVID-19 pandemic. This project is brought to you in partnership with Community Foundation Boulder County.
Dear Trends Diary, this is Emmy Lindsay. I'm a senior in college studying to be a music educator. My favorite thing about music is the camaraderie that inevitably results when people make music together. As our communities began social distancing at the beginning of last summer, the first thing I missed was engaging with others, and especially with children. I heard about the Creative Neighborhoods COVID-19 work projects through the CU College of Music's Entrepreneurial Center for Music, and I knew I wanted to take part in a way that would benefit the young people in my neighborhood. So I built a simple instrument for the kids that I had seen riding their bikes and running around on my street. Putting my knowledge of acoustics to work, I measured and cut several PVC pipes to specific lengths so that when hit at the opening of the pipe, they would resonate at specific pitches. This, of course, involved a lot of trial and error, but was also a lot of fun to work through. I cut 8 pipes and created an A major scale. This way, with this specific scale, any of the pipes will sound relatively pleasant when hit at the same time as another one. The player can bang on the pipes and make some pretty cool music. I painted the pipes, attached them to a board, and decorated the finished product with music notes using spray paint and Sharpie. I also printed pieces of paper advertising the piano and put them in mailboxes all down my street. The piano sat in my front yard all summer, leaning against our mailbox, ready to be played. I hope that during that summer, as I saw kids playing on it in my front yard, the piano brought lots of extra joy into the days of the young people on my street and maybe even their parents.
Feeling inspired? Do you have your own story of making connections or solving problems during this time of physical isolation? Then visit www.commfound.org. Look for Trends Diary and share your experience with Community Foundation Boulder County. Your submission could wind up on these KGNU airwaves.